When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Oh man, how long has it been? Obviously, I'm speaking to people who are listening to the show as it updates, because if you're listening to this long after the fact, it has only been as long as it has been since you listened to the episode before, or the episode after, if you're going backwards through the catalog. So, why has it been so long? Well, I've been busy. As anybody who's following along with the show as it updates is no doubt aware. So, I guess it's silly for me to even address it. Lean into art stuff. Lean into art. 30 classes in 30 days starts today, November 1st, 2011. We got the big keynote event tonight for those who have signed up. And thank you to those who are listening who signed up for 30 classes in 30 days to make this big event possible, where we're leading a online visual storytelling workshop every day over the course of the month of November with a fleet of really cool and insightful cartoonists and visual storytellers. And that's at leanintoart.com. If you're listening to this after the fact, after 30 classes in 30 days, we intend on updating with more, offering more visual storytelling workshops, just not one every day. You know, a couple a month is what we're going to be offering thereafter. So if you have been listening to this show for a while, if you just discovered it and you say, hey, there's some neat thoughts here, I've been listening to the Comics Great Show, lots of cool discussion going on in your show, I'd like some more in-depth stuff, I encourage you to check out leanintoart.com, because that's where I take my teaching work onto the internet. And leading comics, the ones I lead will be really primarily focused on comics workshops. So yeah, busy with that. But in the meantime, in between things, this is where I get to my topic for today, my essay. In between working crazily on that stuff and teaching my comics workshops in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, I snuck a little time in to do some sketching. And I had a little bit of a light bulb moment, a little bit of a wake-up call this past weekend by virtue of my online pal. Well, I guess he's like my real pal because I've met him face-to-face. Kim Holm of cartoonarchy.com, Norwegian cartoonist who does a lot of interesting stuff that you, if you really enjoy comics, you probably should check him out. I'll link to him in the show notes. But on Friday, Kim posted on Twitter, Denunga Herr Holm on Twitter. I'll link to that too because, you know, it's kind of hard to spell. He posted that he finally read my graphic novel, The Front. Again, I talk about this comic a lot. It's a graphic novel I finished a couple years back, more like 5 years back now. But it took a lot of work. It was a big project. It was a 200-something page graphic novel. If you look at the page, you can see that I really, you know, put a lot of effort into the art. I put a lot of effort into the story as well, and I've spent many hours on these podcasts talking about the process that I went through to make that book. And Kim read it, and he said that, I'm paraphrasing now because I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he said that he liked the characters, he liked the premise, he liked the story, he just didn't like the comic. And that's one of the nice things about knowing Kim personally, is that he can give me that kind of brutal criticism, and I don't take it as anything other than, you know, the opinion of a cartoonist that I respect. Didn't hurt my feelings. I figured that, you know, Kim being the intelligent guy that he is and being the guy who cares about comics as much as he does, that, you know, his words carry a little bit of weight, and it wasn't a personal slight. It was that he just felt like the comic let him down. And so, you know, I didn't dig too hard into figuring out why he didn't like the comic so much. But, you know, after a little bit of discussing with him briefly over Twitter, he said the bottom line is that he would like to see more of the story, but in my current style. And that was the first thing that caught me off guard, was because he was referring to, I believed at the time, and I was right, the style I've been using for these He-Man and the Masters of the Universe character reimaginings that I've been playing around with for I don't know how long now, better part of this year. I think it was earlier this year I started doing them. And it was just a simple thing. It takes me, you know, half hour to an hour to do one of them. It was like a break in between different job-related things that I've been doing. Something to keep myself sort of motivated and energized and excited about drawing. And it really kind of was, it was born out of the fact that I was introduced to the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic show, and I was really caught, like, just breathless at how they managed to take this show that, let's face it, wasn't all that good in the 80s. It was okay, but it wasn't great. And infuse it with a new design sense, bring it up to date, make it feel modern, and then also just write it really well. It's a well-written show. I don't call myself a brony. I don't identify myself as being part of any kind of like fandom scene around the show. It's just, I watched it. It's really good. If you care about really tightly written stories for young people, it's a great show. So I thought, well, gee, wouldn't it be awesome if somebody came along and did that for He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, bring the style up to date, and tighten up the story, make it a little bit more punchy, a little bit more energized, a little bit more vibrant than previous incarnations. And yes, I was largely inspired by art styles that I saw in shows like Kim Possible, Transformers Animated, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Powerpuff Girls, those kinds of like more abstracted, cartoony styles. And so I started doing these things just for the fun of it. Well, it wasn't even remotely on my mind that this was now my style. You know, I don't see myself as having a style because as a freelance illustrator, I work in a lot of styles. But I've been having fun with this particular style that I've been doing for the reimaginings, and I carried it over to a couple of projects. I did a freelance gig for this comic called Captain Seriously, which I know I have mentioned in past episodes. If you go back to the archives a little bit, I did a little bit of some reporting on how that experience was working on that comic. And I shared some PDF links to the comic as well in those episodes. And then I did a comic called Boulder and Fleet, Adventures for Hire, which that was earlier this year. So, you know, it really came out of just getting under the hood of the Pentel Color Brush Pen, which is the tool that I use primarily for both the He-Man reimaginings, the Boulder and Fleet comic, and the Captain Seriously comic. It wound up speeding up my work immensely. And I remember talking to my buddy Hoover, who is sort of my Jiminy Cricket. He's the guy I turn to for a lot of insight and advice. He's the guy who's standing on the outside of my career, looking in to get his point of view on how I'm doing things and where I'm going with my stuff. And I remember saying something to him like, well, this brush pen has helped me develop a sort of a deadline style, a style that I can belt out material fairly quickly. And I've made no secret about the fact that the Holly Hammerhands comic, which I've talked about in the past, which I'm working on with Casey Van Heiss of wintersandlavelle.com. Boy, I'm building a lot of preamble to get to where I'm going with this topic, but hang in there with me. This is all going somewhere. I wanted to take this Holly Hammerhands comic and the Boulder and Fleet comic and take it back to Sugary Cereals, start updating the Sugary Cereals project again. If you haven't heard of that, that's at Sugary, S-E-R-I-A-L-S, as in Serialized Fiction, an online comics anthology that I did back in 2007, where I was the editor of that and I contributed some pieces to it, to make comics aimed specifically at young people, okay? And so I'd like to get that thing going again, and I thought, well, these could be the projects I bring to that. I could do it in this brush pen style, and I can do the pieces fast. I can do them in addition to my regular workload without taking too much of my time. And in my discussions with Hoover, I always brought up the fact that, well, yeah, and I want to work on the front again. Now, when I said I want to work on the front, I knew I had, it was very clear in my mind that I would continue on with the existing story that I started in the first graphic novel, and I would continue it in the same style. Because I'm working on some other comics in that style currently. And never even crossed my mind to think about drawing these front characters in that deadline style, which is what I'm just going to call it from now on. The He-Man and the Masters of the Universe reimagining style is now called my deadline style, okay? And when Kim said, I'd like to see you draw or do more stories about these characters, but in your new style, I thought, well, that's an interesting thought. I never even considered doing that. Let's see what one of these guys looks like in that style. So I took my favorite character from the story, Dick Courage, mercenary leader, sort of like the sergeant leader of the mercenaries in the graphic novel. And I rendered him in that style really fast. I mean, it literally took me an hour to do the full character sketch, color it in Photoshop and post it to the web. And I got some positive responses out of that. And I liked the way it looked. It looked really neat and interesting. It kind of made the character fresh and vibrant again for me. So I said, well, let's see what some other guys look like. I did Rex Doyle. I did Orange Guy. And then I drew Thirsty Knox and Gibson, the three boy heroes from the story in the style. And lo and behold, it got more and more interesting and more exciting with each one that I did. I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was about it that made it. Oh, I did Galen and Max too. That was an interesting one. I'll link to these. But anyway, so suddenly, you know, I started considering it. I was like, well, yeah, what would it look like if I did a comic about these guys in this style? Well, one, that this more abstracted, cartoony art style does look more appropriate to a kid's comic. Once I threw the colors on there and you see them standing together, they look like they just walked off of a, well, at least I hope they looked like they walked off of an animated show. It certainly, like, as I said, it breathed new life into them. It made them feel new and fresh to me, and I'm looking at them in a way that I hadn't looked at them before. So I started to consider it, but then I felt a pause, and I'm going to throw in a disclaimer right here, as I think about it, that what I'm about to say may or may not happen. Okay. Because I still have to talk to my buddy Hoover. I got to talk to my Jiminy Cricket to see what he says. Cause I listen very carefully to his insights on what my projects are going to be. I don't always agree with him. I don't always do what he says, but I take his input very seriously. And by the way, he's at Hoovertron on Twitter. If you like following him, he's not a cartoonist. He's just my pal. And if you really, really like Transformers, you might want to follow him. Anyway, so I got to considering doing a full comic in this new style, and I looked through my notes because I have notes for, like, you know, hundreds of pages of material for the story that I wanted to do in the original style. So I thought, well, gee, I could easily map that onto a more, you know, youth oriented story. Only a few details would have to change. I've made no secret of the fact that the front has traditionally been aimed at, like, preteens and teens, but I can age it a little bit lower and in this new style, and maybe that even be better than what I had originally intended. I got thinking about how I could do action scenes, like, a little bit more fluidly and a little bit more energetically in this new style. But then, as I said a moment ago, I had a pause and I thought, would anybody let me put it this way. Would the existing fans of the comic, however many there are, would they be angry with me for suddenly changing the style and the tone so abruptly like that? I felt like this weird sort of hesitation of, well, I can't do this because I've already established with hundreds of pages that it's this style, this tone, it's black and white, it's aimed at preteens and teens and, you know, people who are teens at heart. I can't just suddenly shift gears like that. That would outrage people. I was surprised at myself that I was having this hesitation because the funny thing is when you think about it, in cartoons, which I often refer to as inspiration for my stories, that they're iterative. You know, there's no one canonical Transformers series. There was the Gen 1 series, and then there was Gen 2, and then there was Beast Wars, and then there was Armada and Energon and Robots in Disguise and Beast Machines, and then Transformers Animated, and then not even counting all the different Japanese iterations, right? Beast Wars 2 and so on, Headmasters. So all of these different Transformer series are all Transformer series, but they all have a completely different feel, different tone, and everybody has their favorite. Some people love Beast Machines. I can't stand Beast Machines. I love Robots in Disguise. Some people hate Robots in Disguise. But that's fine. You know, there's always going to be a new iteration. Can a cartoonist do that? I was so surprised that I had such a hesitation about this, and I can't help but think this comes out of the fact that I grew up in the era of the house style companies, Marvel and DC, with a solid continuity, which I've gone on the record to say that I think that's one of the problems with these companies and their characters, that they're too reliant on continuity. They pay too much lip service to continuity. They should feel free to create iterative versions where here's the monthly done-in-one Superman stories that are aimed at new readers, young people. There's a reset in every story at the end of each chapter. Not writing for the trade, no compression or no decompression, just compress it up, you know, and then have that running alongside of an iteration of Superman that's aimed at older readers. Why not? You know, he's a franchise character. You get to do that and follow the model that cartoons follow, create lots of different versions for lots of different audiences. But I'm just a single creator, and these are my characters, so sort of like my treatment of them is the canonical treatment then, isn't it, right? And even if I did follow existing continuity, like just pick up where I left off at the end of the first book and follow on the new story with a new tone and new style, could I get away with that? Well, it's funny that I even thought this stuff because I've said again, I should listen to my own advice. Is like, would it make me happy? Would I have a good time doing that? Sure looks like it. I got to do more character designs and take more notes and try out some test pages, but it looks like I'd have a lot of fun with this new style. And it seems like a logical step in my where I want to go with my work is to aim it even more towards younger kids. Well, and hopefully older kids too, who just like those kind of stories, but make it more accessible to even younger kids, right? So why should I be considering the audience? Now, let me back up again and also throw in this, because I know there's going to be somebody listening who's going to be thinking this, well, geez, Jerz, it's been so darn long. Does anybody care? That's a very fair question, you know, because I got zero negative feedback on these character reimaginings. I heard from several people, some who I know for a fact were fans of the comic back when they were in high school, and now they're in their 20s because it's been a while. And they had no problem with it. They thought it was great. And they said, I'm just glad to see these characters drawn again by you. Everybody who's responded has said nice things about the redesigns. The fact that I've gotten no feedback or no negative feedback could be a reflection of the fact that nobody's really paying attention to this book anymore, which could be a reason to go ahead and do the reboot or the redesign, like do it in the new style. Because if nobody's paying attention, then the new version could essentially be the real version, the current version, the version that anybody really cares about because it's the latest. But anyway, the point is that I was surprised by the fact that I had a hesitation to do that. I had a hesitation in the sense that the book is called The Front Rebirth because it was a reimagining of a comic I did when I was 19. I reimagined it when I was in my 20s. Now I'm in my 30s and I'm going to reimagine it again? Oh man, is this going to be the thing that I just constantly reboot? I don't want to go back and revise myself. Well, if I did that, then I would probably just pick up where I left off, continue on with the story, treat the graphic novel as if it is truly the first chapter in the ongoing series. It's just now I've just, you know, it's years later. I've changed the style, I've changed the look, and I've changed the tone a little bit. But as far as where I was going with everything, I'd leave all that the same. And at any rate, I don't have an answer at this point. Like I said, I got to talk to my buddy Hoover and get his input on this because I'm really curious what he thinks of him. My guess is he's going to hate him because I remember when I reimagined Galen for the graphic novel version 5 years ago, that was a big departure on where I had intended on going with Galen as a character in the first place. And he was really dubious of whether or not that was going to work. And it wound up working really well. I mean, Galen became a fairly popular character amongst my readership, such as it was. So I'm going to take what he says with a grain of salt. It's still my book, but I'm curious to get his take on it at any rate. And I'm going to think about it more as I do more character designs. But what I'm trying to share today, what the essay is about, is how a cartoonist caught himself off guard because he was confronted with a very exciting idea, a fun idea. And I got to thank Kim Holm for pushing me in that direction because, I mean, I just did it just because. It was like, well, that sounds interesting. I'll just try it. And then I went, oh my gosh, this is actually really interesting. Where was I going? I sidetracked myself by thanking Kim. Thanks again, Kim. Give me a bit of a brain hiccup here. But anyway, I was sharing the fact that a cartoonist who was confronted with an interesting idea suddenly found himself feeling trepidation because he was worried about what are the people going to say. And it's not like the comic is super popular. My career hinges on lots of people liking it. But at the same time, this is the interesting part, right? Is I guess all of us, no matter what stance we take, we do worry a little bit about what people are going to say about it. And maybe there are some who don't. Maybe there are some who really don't think about it, just really passionately follow their bliss on that kind of thing. And maybe that's a sign to me that I got to, you know, be a little bit more mindful about getting there because ultimately nobody's paying me to do it. So why not just jump in and do it whatever way I feel like, right? And to heck with the consequences. And who knows, it might turn out to be actually really cool. So there's my thoughts today. I don't have a call of action on this. I'm not, you know, if you want to share your thoughts on this topic, there's comments right underneath the post on comicsaregreat.com. The address for this episode will be comicsaregreat.com/, oh my goodness, what episode are we on? You know, I should find out real quick so I can give you the proper address. Thunder Punch Daily. And the latest episode. Okay, so it'll be comicsaregreat.com/TPD143. That'll be where you can find the show notes for this episode. And if you have any thoughts on this, you can post there. Or you can just follow me on Twitter, Jersey on Twitter, or on Jersey Drozd on Google Plus. You can message me there. I really like Google Plus. That's my favorite place to converse with people if you want to contact me there. I'm on Facebook too, facebook.com/comicsaregreat. That's the best place to find me there. On the Tumblrs, jerseydrozd.tumblr.com. On the Posterous, jerseydrozd.posterous.com. Any place where people post stuff. I'm on DeviantArt too. You can search for me there. And I post all this stuff, all those things. As a matter of fact, I got to do a follow-up episode of Thunder Punch Daily about managing all of these different sites. Because I've been toying with a method of streamlining that whole process, so I'm not visiting, you know, 20 sites a day to do all my updates. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So as I said, my name is Jersey Drozd, and thank you for downloading and listening. Music for this show has been created by my brother Elliot Drozd at elliotdrozd.com, E-L-I-O-T-T, drozd.com. I'm pushing him. He's going to be putting some music on there pretty soon. The voiceover was by Tara Platt, taraplatt.com, TARAPLATT.com. And the audio hosting for this episode was provided by Kablam, KABLAM.com, your one-stop source for printing and distributing and fulfillment for your comic. I am a big believer in their service. It's a print-on-demand company, but they got a lot of really cool services where you can upload your comic there to them. You don't even have to buy a copy. You can just put it up for sale on their store, their fulfillment site, indieplanet.com. That's how I sell all my comics. They also have a distribution service called Comics Monkey, which you can find out more about at ka-blam.com. You can get a free sample from them. They got a link in the sidebar to get a free sample so you can see what the printing looks like. Or you could just buy one of my books, and then you could see what the printing looks like. But you don't have to do that because they're all online for free anyway. Linked at comicsaregreat.com. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
As you saw in today's story, people can change.
Right, Tila. Sibylline had always been an evil sorceress, but she was able to change her ways for the better. Maybe there's something about yourself that you don't like. A bad habit, maybe.
It's easy to say I can't change, but the truth is, you can change almost any behavior if you really want to.
And the first step is saying to yourself, I can't.